Well, I am glad that you made it a point today to be here to worship. And how many of you did your homework this week? Read your chapter in the story? All right, excellent. Keep reading those chapters. We're just going to keep moving through this. And if you're uncertain what I'm talking about, we've started a series of messages from a book called Believe. We're in a 10-week segment right now that'll take us up to the beginning of December before Christmas. Then we'll take a Christmas break, so to speak, from the book, and we'll then begin it again in January. Take us up for another 10 weeks to Easter, where we'll take an Easter break. And then after Easter, we'll continue the last 10 chapters of the book that'll take us into early summer. And this is an important book. It describes to us the foundations of our faith. We did the story a couple of years ago where we read God's Word, and now Believe is helping to formulate what we believe and what the Bible has to say about certain matters of Christian faith. So this morning, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17 are going to be our key verses this morning. We're going to read some other scripture in other areas of the Bible, but this is the main chunk that we're going to look at this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn open to that. As you're getting there, I heard about a high school football game. Wide receiver went across the middle, caught the ball, and just got laid out at the 50-yard line. He's laying out there on the 50-yard line, motionless, and the head coach runs out on the field. And the head coach is known as a football genius, but in all other things, not so much. He runs out there, and he bends down next to his player. Son, can you hear me? And the boy's just laying there, motionless. And he grabs his hand and said, "All right, son, if you can hear me, squeeze my hand once. And if you can't hear me, squeeze my hand twice." The wheels are turning, I know. I know that'd get the brain juices flowing. Here's another one for you. Just a thought of the day for you. You may contemplate on this. Why is it that scissors are sold in a package that you need scissors to get the scissors out of the package? Just a thought. You can think about that one as well this week. Now to more important things. What we believe is pretty important. What we believe about our faith, what we believe about God, what we believe about the Bible, of which we're going to talk about this morning, of what the chapter is that you were supposed to have read, if you've read, centers around, is very important. That's why this book that we're going through is called Believe. The Bible says that we're to have an answer for the faith that we have. And if I were to ask you why you root for a certain team, you could probably give me a long explanation, I'm sure. If someone were to ask you why you like your kids, you probably could give a long explanation, depending on what's happened that day, right? If you were asked why you love your spouse, I guess this could be kind of like the kid one, but you could hopefully give a long explanation as to why you love your spouse. If someone were to ask you about your job, you could probably explain your job, unless you just hate your job, but you could explain your job and why you enjoy it. Or a hobby, you could explain that hobby, why you love golf or love cars or whatever it is you love. But if someone were to ask you why it is you're a Christian, why it is you believe in the Bible, you believe in God, you go to church, what would be your response? We're to have an answer for that. And so as we go through this book called Believe, it's to help you have those answers. It's about discipleship and growing. No person will ever reach the pinnacle of the Christian faith and say, "I made it." Like you graduated high school. "I made it. I graduated high school. I graduated college." No. We will continue to grow in our faith, in our belief, till the day that we die. And that's what this is all about, is being discipled. And the main point is to guard your heart against what it is that Satan is trying to do in this world. To seek, kill, and destroy all of those who would choose to have faith in God and live a life that represents Jesus. Satan wants to attack that. So we have to have a strong belief. We have to know what we believe. When I was a kid, I was raised in the church spiritually by my grandmother. She took me to church every Sunday. She would talk to me about the Bible. And I remember as a small child going to Sunday school class. And we would go through the lessons. And we'd have a little color illustrated little magazine that had the scriptures in it, and we would read through certain stories. And as I read that, there were many times perhaps I didn't connect what was really happening, but I could kind of, in a way, recite the stories. I kind of understood them. But it always had a sense, as a small child, that there was something unique about the Bible. That there was just something about the Bible that drew me to it. It was different than any books we had to read in school. There was just something unique about it. What God's Word has to say. And the key question this morning is, how do I know God and His will for my life? And we come to know who God is through this book. Now, you can come to know God through nature, what we see in our surroundings. You can come to know God through hearing the testimony of other Christians. But the Bible is oh so important when it comes to us knowing who God is and also the will that He has set forth for our life. By knowing God, then we will know how God desires for us to live our lives, and His will for our life will therefore be revealed. And so the key idea this morning that I hope you come away with is that I believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God that guides my beliefs and actions. The first hope here is that you believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. That it's not something that man just penned centuries ago, but men penned it to paper because of the inspiration of God. And it was inspired by God. That's my first hope for you. My second hope is that it guides your beliefs, what you believe, and it guides your actions, what you do. And so we look this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that has something to say about the Word of God. And these verses start out by saying this: all Scripture is God-breathed. We'll stop there for a moment and talk about this. There was a young man who after school had to go stay at his grandparents because the parents had to work late. He went in the living room and sat down on the couch and found his grandmother's Bible on the coffee table, and he picked it up and started looking through it, all the worn-out pages where his grandmother had been reading the Bible, and he turned open to a page that there was a perfectly pressed leaf inside the Bible, and the leaf fell out on the carpet, and the little boy picked up the leaf and shouted out to his grandma, "Grandma, Grandma, I just found Adam's suit." You know, and as we read the Bible, the words just fall off the pages into our life. As we read Scripture, we realize this is no ordinary book, but it's the inspired Word of God. So I hope today you can walk away saying, I believe the Bible. The first is, I believe the Bible because it's God-breathed. Theopneustos in the Greek means God breathed. Theo meaning God, neustos meaning spirit or breath. That God breathed His Spirit. This is a part of God that we hold in our hands as we read not some man's words, but His words. This takes us back to the beginning of time when God created man. We know that God in the book of Genesis scooped up the dirt and formed out of the dirt a man named Adam. At that point, he was just a dirt bag until God breathed His Spirit into man. That's not that Adam needed oxygen, but that he needed the Spirit of God in his life. And so God breathed into Adam what God breathed into what we hold in our hands, known as the Holy Bible. You see, this book is different than all other books that we read. It's 66 individual books put into one work where God displays who He is and His desire for us. And it's foundational for us to believe that the Bible is wholly inspired by God and God alone. It's foundational for us to believe that. And for some people, they're just wired different. It doesn't take much. I just believe it. Maybe you were raised in church as a kid, and your family believed it, and so there was no real doubt in your mind. You just believed it. But for others, perhaps they weren't raised in the church. Maybe they had a traumatic event in their life, or maybe they kind of thought there was God, but because of that event, they kind of turned their back. Some people are just more curious than others by nature. Some are more skeptical by nature, and that's okay. That's why we are studying this book called Believe. That's why we preach messages, so people can come to know the truth of who God is and the truth of His Word. Still others, they believe bits and pieces of the Bible, kind of like a buffet. Well, I'll take a little bit of forgiveness, but I don't know if I can hold my tongue too well, so I don't know if I want that one. Well, when we do that, we're walking a fine line. It's not going to please God, because He wants us to fully adhere to His Word, not just the parts that make us feel good or make us feel comfortable at that moment in our lives. And so what's the big deal in believing in this book called the Bible? Because it's life-changing. And many of you could attest in your own lives from reading the Word of God, as Greg talked in his communion meditation, how the Word of God has affected him more lately than it has earlier. You could attest in your own life how God's Word affects you in different ways and how you've seen it change things for you. If you want to be a better parent, read the Bible. If you want to be a better spouse, read the Bible. If you want to be a better co-worker, read the Bible. Because God's Word will transform your life. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11 says, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed, for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. I will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." You see, God's purposes of His Word won't return void to Him. God has a purpose behind His Word. Just as God sends the rain that produces a crop that returns a harvest, so does God's Word as He sends it to us. And we have a part in this. We have to choose to believe. We have to choose to implement God's Word in our life. But God has a set purpose that His Word, it will accomplish something in your life. The verse before in verse 9, Isaiah 55, 9, it says, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." And so we have to ask ourselves a question. God sees our life. He sees it from a distance. He knows where we're at, where we're going, what we're headed towards. And we have to ask ourselves, do I trust my own instincts, my own advice, or do I want to lean upon the Word of God and His advice? It kind of makes a new definition to the term, my way or the highway. And which one are you going to choose? Because there's only one or the other in life. You either choose what I want to do, or we choose the leading of God's Word and trust in it wholly. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, very familiar set of Scripture. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He'll make your paths straight." And in this life, there are many decisions we are faced with. Many paths that we can choose to take. God says, submit to me, and I'll make your path straight. Trust in me and no one else and nothing else. So 2 Timothy chapter 16 tells us the Word of God is God-breathed. But it also goes further. It says, "And it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." God's Word has a purpose. God put it into our hands. It's inspired by Him, but it has a purpose for our lives. And so I hope that you believe. I believe the Bible because it teaches. I don't know how many of you in school took classes that you thought, "I don't need to know this. I don't want to have to do this. This is stupid. Come on. Algebra, right? Anybody with me? Algebra, what do I need algebra for? X, Y, Z, A, and B, what? This makes no sense. These are letters, not numbers." I remember going my first year of college. I had to take, got an amen down front. First year of college, had to take Introduction to Art. I'm not going to be an artist. What's the purpose in this? Oh, it's going to make you a well-rounded student. And I think to myself, no, it gives you more money because I have to pay for this class. But there's many people, you may be one of them, maybe you knew someone you went to school with, who just thought that being taught, learning was just a waste of time. But how foolish was that? And how much more foolish is it to think that we don't need the teaching of God's Word? It says here, all Scripture is God-breathed and it's useful for teaching. God speaks into our lives through His Word and teaches His ways so that our ways can be like His ways. God has a desire to teach us His Word so that this life can be more than what it would be. God has that desire. Now the next two get a little bit more personal. I believe the Bible because it rebukes. I don't know how many of you have that person in your life that can tell you just what you need to hear. But the Bible will tell you what you need to hear, even when you don't want to hear it. Many times we don't have that person in our life because, well, they're just afraid to maybe tell you the truth because it might hurt a relationship or hurt their feelings or hurt your feelings. I just don't want to go there, right? But when you read the Word of God, it has a way of rebuking us or throwing up the stop sign and saying, hold on a minute. When you match up how you're living with God's Word, it doesn't jive. It doesn't work. So sometimes the Word of God, it steps in between our earthly desires and godly principles. So it rebukes us. It stops us in our tracks. And generally the things in Scripture that you don't care for or don't like are probably the things that are rebuking you at the time. Man, I just don't think I can forgive that person. Well, God's Word would be opposite of that. There would be a rebuke. There would be a stopping point because God's Word asks that you forgive even your enemies. And so God's Word can get a little bit personal. It can meddle a little bit in your personal life. But it has a set purpose for that so that God's will can be revealed. Also, I believe the Bible, it corrects. It corrects our lives. It not only rebukes and stops us, but it gives us corrections to make. Last summer, our family went out west, and we drove a bunch. And one of our first stops, we left Las Vegas, and we were going to go to Death Valley, California. 11 years earlier, I had made that exact same drive. So when we got in our rental car and headed west, I told Trista, don't worry about Siri on that phone. I don't even need the map. I know where I'm going. I've been there before. Well, we got out of the valley of Las Vegas and crossed over the mountains. And soon I realized, where am I at? Did I take that road? I'm not sure. Nothing had changed. Everything was still, it's a desert. Nothing changes. No one's building out there. It's desolate. No highways or interstates are being built. But the further I got away from Las Vegas and closer to the destination I was hoping to get to, things started getting a little bit unfamiliar. And so finally, Trista, out of knowing I really didn't know what I was doing, got on her phone and Siri'd our directions. I needed some correction. And sometimes in the wandering of life, we need some correction. And God's Word is inspired by the Lord. It's God-breathed. It's useful for teaching. It's useful for rebuking, for stopping us dead in our tracks. But it's also useful for correcting our life, for getting us back on the right path. And you could say, in a way, that the Word of God is like a spiritual guidance system, like a GPS, but in spiritual things, in our faith, in our belief in God and His Word. And so if we are listening to God's Word and we believe in it wholeheartedly and we want to submit fully to it, then we allow it to correct what needs to be corrected. And lastly, in these verses, I believe the Bible because it trains in righteousness. There's a progression here. First, we need to be taught the ways of God. And as we live life, there's points where sin creeps in and we need to be rebuked. We need to be stopped. And then we need some correction, some guidance to get us back on the right path. Remember, we were learning earlier, we were being taught, well, sin creeps in. We stop that. We were rebuked. We get back on the right path. And then we continue that training in righteousness. If you've ever played a sport, we'll take basketball for example. If you were to forego training and practicing, and you just went right to the very first game, in my experience, that probably wouldn't work out too well. The training, the practicing before the game is vital for you to have success. And God's word will train us in righteousness. Righteousness means to be right before God. And we can't be right before God if we don't know His word, because we have to know the will that God has for our lives. On our own, we couldn't find that. We wouldn't know what to do. But it's God's word that trains us in the ways of God so that we can be more like His Son, Jesus Christ, to be right before the Lord. Now we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, in its fullness. It says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." So that, there's a purpose here, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, God has a desire for you individually. God has a desire to guide your beliefs, to guide your actions. And some look at the Bible and say, "Look, God's just trying to be some cosmological killjoy. It's just raining on my parade. I read these things. I don't want to believe this. It's just no fun." But God has a desire for you through His inspired word to raise you up so that your beliefs and your actions are guided by Him. He's equipping you to be a faithful servant and to serve Him and Him alone. I don't know how many of you have ever been trained by someone else for a job. And as you're going through that training, you're scratching your head thinking, "I really don't understand what they're meaning. They're not doing a very good job explaining how to do this job." And at the end they say, "And that's the job, good luck," and they leave you alone. And you're left to think, "I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'll probably be fired tomorrow because I'm not going to do a very good job at this." I've been there. But when we consider what God has done through His Word, He's training us up. The Lord has given us a wonderful instruction manual in His Word. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it has purposes because it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And that set purpose is so that you can be that faithful servant that God has always desired for you to be. Our spiritual training is second to none when it comes to what God has delivered through His Word. So my encouragement to you, as a Christian already, if that's where you sit in your seat today as a firm believer in Christ, I hope that your belief is becoming stronger. And that if someone asks you to give a reason for the faith that you have, you know what to say. You have an answer for those who maybe have an unbelief. You know, God's Word gives us lots of directions. It gives us lots of information. The most important information that this book delivers is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And that there is a disconnect between God and humanity. And because of Jesus Christ, that relationship can be bridged. That was accomplished through the cross, through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And this morning we sing a song of invitation to invite anyone who would like to receive what it is that Jesus Christ has done for them personally to come forward this morning. To come forward and to proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and submit to Him and Him alone. This morning, if you'd like to make this church family your church family, we also welcome you with arms that are wide open as a loving church body of Jesus Christ. Let's stand and let's sing this morning.